I don't put many titles on my messages, but this one is entitled Voices from the Past. Do you know this whole book is voices from the past? There's no one currently, you know, writing this book. This book, perhaps there's other chapters and other books that God will reveal later, but I've been affected by voices from the past, those who are no longer alive, and so have you. So if you turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the words of God, whose faith follow." So remember those people who have preached to you the word of God and follow what they said, what they did, considering the end of their conversation. And then 2 Thessalonians 2 and 5, it says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" Paul is saying, you remember what I said? Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word this morning. God, that you'd allow it to go freely and minister to us. Amen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many messages have you heard over the years? Yesterday, I tried to get a rough estimate. I think there's over 10,000 messages that I've heard over the last years. And only God knows the total effect each sermon has had on my life as well on yours. How has it shaped you? How has it changed you? But how many of those sermons had such an influence on us that we still remember the day that they were preached? So many times, you know, somebody asked you on a Monday, how was the preaching? It was outstanding. Well, what was it? I don't know, but it was good. You know, I want something that sinks down in me that I can carry into the future and that I can reference back to, especially when I come up against some difficulties. You remember not only the words that were spoken, but the immediate effect and feelings that you felt during the message. I've been there so many times. Paul said, "Remember them which have spoken unto you the words of God. I've been molded by good preaching and teaching over many years. I am and you are what has been preached over the years and how has conformed you to the image of Christ and formed and created your character. And I'm still being molded by sermons that I've heard years ago, and I'm not done hearing, you see." Some could say, "Well, I've heard it all." No, you haven't. You haven't. There's still nuggets in the book. There's still revelations that you haven't seen. There's still things about our God that you don't know about. I'm more impressed by telling than yelling. I'm more impressed by revelation than rubbing up, you see. Give me some information that I can take to Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and 6 years from now, I can go back in the files of my mind and say, "I remember when that was preached," you see. Titus 1 and 3 says, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching." Hallelujah. "My word shall not return unto me void." There's something that is planted within us. And sometimes we don't even understand that until we come up to an occasion where we now remember a scripture that we haven't even tried to memorize, but is still inside of us, you see. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." But listen to this. "But unto us which are saved," the preaching, "it is the power of God." To you and me, the preaching of God is the power of God. Preaching has changed my life, given me direction, answered my questions, and given me a solid foundation which I can build my life on. Well, why do you do that? Because I heard it preached. Hallelujah. And it wasn't just reading the Word of God, because just reading the Word of God doesn't always give us the answer. But somebody who is under the anointed power of God reveals things through the Word that we haven't seen on our own. Jesus was and is the greatest storyteller in the entire book of the Bible. It's a book of stories, is really what it is. He made difficult concepts easy through parables. Most didn't even know that they were being preached to. There have been times when the upper room has been here, and the guy who's on the keyboard during and in between the songs was preaching to people, and they didn't even understand they were being preached to. You see? And the most effective preaching follows his example of making principles of God easy to understand. Some of my favorite books are filled with short stories. You know, wait until the end, wait until the end, read 300 pages to find out what's really going on. I'm so glad that we don't have to read this whole book to find out what's going to happen in our life. In a few pages, you have a beginning, a description of the events, and then a conclusion, and there are several stories within one book. Well, that's exactly what the Bible is, short version of situations, a variety of characters and events with a conclusion for us to learn from. And God, through these individuals, show us how to live and the rewards and the consequences in short stories. Here's what happened to Joseph. Here's what happened to Esau. Here's what happened in this story, in that story. And it keeps our interest because, you know, it isn't just a long continual of one story. How many times did Timothy sit at the feet of Paul hearing his stories? This is what happened to me. This isn't what should happen to you. How many times did Timothy hear Paul say, "Preach the word. Be instant in season. Don't be intimidated by those who don't believe you. Don't look at their faces. Just preach the word. Give your full attention to reading and exhortation and especially to doctrine." Timothy, you need to hear these things because in the future you're going to need these. So if you turn to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, here's what Paul says. Verse number 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Here's the preaching that you need to remember, you see. I've had the privilege of sitting under the preaching of great men, giants. A lot of you haven't heard the same preaching that I have heard, but you've heard me as a result of what I heard, you see. Many of which are no longer alive. They were giants in the land of Pentecost. They were pioneers, if you will. So this morning, I would like to preach every sermon that I have really had impacted my life. And I will get you out of here before service tonight at 6 o'clock. One of the first sermons that I heard after coming into the truth was by V.A. Gidros. Most of you have never heard the name, but he is a giant in our organization. He preached a message called the Death March. All during the preaching, you could hear the sound of a drummer as he sounded on the drum a death march. And he walked throughout the message, marching, marching, marching. They're marching to hell, and they don't even know it. Your relatives, your friends, your co-workers are marching. They're marching. They're marching to hell. It touched me. It is a famous message that rings true even today. People who you have never met, they're on their way. If you can look at them and see that they're marching, they're going in the wrong direction. Hallelujah. How relevant for us today. I'll never forget the sermon. I'll never forget how it impacted my life. I'll never forget a sermon preached by the evangelist Richard Hurd. The title was, "The Joy Was Greater Than the Shame." It touched me so deeply, I couldn't stop thinking of it for days and weeks after it was preached. He's an evangelist that had much success, hundreds of people being filled with the Holy Ghost, and it didn't start out that way in his life. He told of the time that his parents abandoned him when he was only 4 years old. He couldn't understand why they didn't love him enough to keep him. He was heartbroken. He was taken to a bus station to be sent to relatives that he had never met before. And he recalled he had nothing with him. There was no luggage. There was no toys. In fact, he stood in the bus station only in his underwear. People kept staring at him and even laughing at him. And he said, "I can't tell you how ashamed I was of standing there by myself, knowing that my parents didn't love me." But what he didn't understand was that his distant relatives who he had never met were in the church, loved him as their own, and raised him in truth to one day become a great preacher. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus endured the pain, but he also endured the shame. Pictures depict Jesus as on the cross with a loincloth, but in all reality, he was completely naked. In open shame before all that he knew, his relatives, all the people that he loved, in a shameful situation, but he looked ahead and saw the joy beyond the shame. Thank you, Lord. Because the joy was greater than the shame. Some may be hesitant to share their faith because they're somewhat ashamed or afraid of the rejection. Young people, if it hasn't happened to you, well, there's going to be some challenges, and there's going to be people who will cause you to be isolated from others. But heaven is cheering for those of us who will stand up for this truth, because the joy, well, it's greater than any rejection, greater than any shame. If you turn to Romans, the first chapter, verse number 16, Paul said it this way, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of this thing. I'll stand up. If I'm the only person, I'll stand up for this truth, you see. I'll never forget a message from Brother Mark Hamby. Brother Mark Hamby was one of the greatest of our preachers when I came into the church in the 70s. I tried to find every cassette tape that I could of his preaching. He came from Texas, and back then you could just get things like that on cassette. And the title of this message was From the Anointing to the Crown. He preached about how David was anointed by Samuel when he was just a boy. But for 14 long years before he received the crown to be able to be king of Israel, for 14 long years, he struggled. He was attacked from without and also from within, defeating the giant Goliath against all odds. And then he had the favor of God, and still he was attacked. And how each of us have received the same anointing when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We get the same anointing that David had, and how each and every one of us are going to be struggling, and we're going to go through attack after attack from without and from within. Years of being faithful, even under adverse situations, but one day we too will receive a crown. I will walk on streets of gold. Oh, there's going to be a space of time. There's going to be time from the time we get the Holy Ghost to the time God hands us the crown. But he's looking for somebody who's faithful from the anointing to the crown. And then there was the last sermon our general superintendent, Brother Kenneth Haney, preached at a general conference, and I had the privilege of being there years ago, and the title of his message was The Seven Locks of Samson. It was an incredible message. Samson was a type and shadow of the church today. He was a Nazarite, someone who consecrated himself and took a vow of separation unto God. That's us. We took that vow, I'm going to live for you, God, and I'm going to separate myself from the rest of the world. He didn't cut his hair as a sign of his concentration and his vow of separation, and that's us, folks, as witnessed by our ladies. Brother Haney went on to show the seven locks of Samson's hair represented the seven aspects of our consecration to God. If you'll turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter, starting verse number 3. This is according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given it to us. There isn't anything that he hasn't given to us that allows us to live for him and separate ourselves from the world, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, his nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Seven locks of consecration that Samson had, that the church has to have: virtue, knowledge, temperance or self-control, godliness, kindness, and charity or love. You have to have these in order to be the Nazarite that God wants us to be. We need all seven to maintain our godly perspective. Hallelujah. One of the most anointed preachers I've ever known was Brother Alan Oggs. A lot of you have heard him stand behind this pulpit and minister. I can still picture him. I remember him saying, if you'll give me more monitor, I'll buy you a cheeseburger after. He overcame all of the challenges of multiple sclerosis to be one of God's greatest spokesmen. His greatest sermon, which turned into a book, was, "You Have to Have a Want To." That sermon was played on one of the Christian radio stations after he had preached it in a Pentecostal church. They don't even know how it aired on that station, but as a result, you know, there are more people who turn to God because of his message than anybody else. He said, we all fall from time to time, but you have to have a want to get back up. It's not the fall that is so bad, it's the not getting back up. So determined to be used by God in spite of his disabilities. I've said this before, but he told the story of how he was determined as a boy to ride a bike, and he kept falling and falling and falling. And finally, one day, he got on that bike, and he was able to ride around this entire block where his house was. And every person on that block was out on the street clapping their hands for him. And the angels must have been clapping their hands for Brother Oggs as he struggled. Brother C.M. Becton was a General Secretary of the United Pentecostal Church for many, many years. One of our outstanding men. I've met him many times. He's just a gracious guy. He also, together with Brother Urshan, did a monthly harvest time broadcast that went around the world. In fact, Brother Urshan stood in this pulpit and preached one of those messages years ago. He looked like he was a corporate executive, the way he dressed, yet he was such a humble man. He was always put together, and he preached a holy roller in the 20th century. You know, some of you don't even know what we went through in the early days of being in Pentecost. You know, people just didn't like us. They thought we worshiped the devil because we spoke in another language. But some just called us holy rollers. And he preached that message, a holy roller in the 20th century, and literally rolled back and forth on the platform. Here's this guy who was so put together, so incredible, and yet he humbled himself and did that to make a point. Yes, we all need to stand out from the world, not just look good, but play a role of a saint. And whatever it takes in order to please God, we need to do it. Glory to God. Is it 6 o'clock yet? At my weakest point in life, God sent a preacher just for me. On a Sunday morning. I don't know if anybody else was moved by it. I don't know if anybody else was affected by it. I remember his name. He was R.L. Mitchell from Texas. The title of his message, I don't remember. The contents of his message, I don't remember. But I remember an anointing that touched me so deeply. I felt God himself was speaking directly to me. I don't know if anybody else heard anything, but I heard the voice of God. All I know was Every word had my name on it, a preacher sent that morning just for me at my weakest point. I remember after the service, never met the man. He walked right up to me and read my mail. He told me exactly what was going on in my life at that time, who I had never told anybody else about. And he said, in 7 days, it'll all be over. After I had begged God for months to help me through it. And in 7 days, it was. I was in Jerusalem in 1980 at a world conference with Brother Stevens. Brother Stevens also was from Texas. And his message was the soon return of Jesus. Now, I've heard a lot of messages about Jesus' coming, but this one was special. He talked about all the prophecies that had been fulfilled. He made it so eminent that God was coming. I thought that same night God would be coming. If anything, he'd be coming in a matter of weeks. And I was careful to be ready at that time. And I am still careful to be ready because I know, based on that preaching, Jesus could come at any time, folks. Time doesn't permit the many sermons of Brother James Kilgore, a man that I deeply respect and heard so much of his preaching in conferences. And in fact, he was the keynote speaker at that world conference in Jerusalem. Brother Nathaniel Urshan, so many preaching. Brother Wiseman, Brother Jonathan Edwards, Brother Billy Cole, who is probably one of the greatest evangelists that this world has ever seen. Yes, I once sat at the feet of giants, and now I can stand on the shoulder of every one of those messages that have been deeply rooted within me and caused me to never fall. I will not be moved. I'm like a tree that is planted by the water because of the word of God that went inside of me. Because of them, I'm stronger and wiser and more dedicated to this truth than ever before. I will not be moved because of the preaching that I've heard. Is it important? Yes. Oh, and there's one more sermon that I felt changed my life probably more than any other sermon. It was preached to me in the middle of a grocery store by Cheryl Running. Before I ever stepped into a Pentecostal church, I heard that sermon in an aisle in a grocery store. I graduated high school with her, and we attended a Methodist church years before that, and I stopped going, and she stopped going. And the title of her message was, "Jim, you have to come to this church that I found. You will feel the power and the presence of God like you never did at that Methodist church. You have to check it out." It's a long title. Well, I couldn't get that sermon out of my mind. So I went, and the rest is history. Because of a sermon, someone who doesn't have a license, never stood behind a pulpit, probably never taught a Sunday school lesson, but she got the title right. Now, to all of the preachers that are here this morning, don't look around, because that's you. What about your next sermon? Have you studied? Will you stand up? Will you take your pulpit someplace else? Even if you just preach the title to someone, You never know how that is going to affect their lives. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and Caledonia and Racine and Kenosha and Milwaukee and Union Grove and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We all are preachers. We're all high priests. We all have been anointed for a purpose, not just so we feel good in church, not because we can speak in another language, but God has anointed us to deliver a message that maybe down the road somebody else can say, you know, the best message I ever heard was in a hardware store at break time at my office. Because we're all preachers. And we all have a message that is better than any other message. The greatest secret ever kept was that Jesus Christ is God and there is none others. Yeah. Who else can preach it except you? Would you stand with me, please? Some of you have your own favorite preacher. Some of you have a message that has been deeply set in your heart and mind that has kept you and will continue to keep you. Hallelujah. I haven't heard the best preacher yet, but one day I'm going to see him face to face, and he's going to say something to me. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. The altar is open. Would you come?